Like we were saying, my heart's prayer is that we do learn how to trust and obey. You know, we've been talking for the last several weeks about what God requires of us. We got a bunch of it written up here on the board. We're backing up to walking with God. God really, he desires us to walk with him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know that he's real. And like any walk, the way that any walk begins is you start seeing or recognizing or realizing, experiencing that you're going to be walking with somebody. Amen? Walking with yourself is no fun. I mean, some folks like it. Oh, I like to walk by myself. I like to walk with people. I really do. But I got to know that the person's there. If I'm going to walk with Kevin, I come and I meet Kevin. I started walking with Joshua 14 years ago, give or take, a couple, you know. And so we've been walking together. Dean and I, we've been walking together for a long time. Sometimes we walk apart, but then we end up coming back together and we start this walk. I can walk with him because I know he's real. God wants you to walk with him, but you must realize that he's real. God is not just something that's way off, a million, gazillion miles. What do you say? It's that a Peter Pan thing. To the star, to the right. What? anyhow. What, y'all know Peter Pan, right? And he goes to the whatever city, and you take a fly up, and you hit the star, and you turn right, and all. No, he's not way off. Y'all don't know Peter Pan? Obviously, I don't know him either. And I know he's a little kid that likes to fly around in a green suit. And he makes good peanut butter. That's about the only thing I know about him. Anyhow, God is not some far-off entity that does not care about you individually. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a reality with you. That you can walk with him. You can talk with him. You can hear what he wants out of you, and you can express what you need from him. You can express your heart, your love, your compassion. You can express your sin. Lord, or even now, you can express the need for forgiveness of sin. And God loves you that much that he wants you to have that real walk with him. You know that you must know that he is present with you, that he's near you. And some of you may know that already, and some of you may be like Dean and I, where we walked together for a while and then we separated and you're just coming back. Let me introduce you, okay? Because some of you may not know him. Let me introduce you to the real God of the Bible. The one who loves you. Doug, he loves you, right? Nancy, he loves you. And he wants you to have a deep, loving, real relationship, a walk with him. A daily walk that involves every aspect of life. And when you start to understand that he's real, that he's really there, you can understand chapters in John, right? I'm going to start there, John chapter 3. So to understand God, you must know that he is, amen, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But there is a man by the name of Nicodemus. We already know the story, the account. I apologize for that. Every time I say story, y'all say no, account. Not no account, but no / account. Right? Because it's an account. It's not a story. The real thing. Jesus said to Nick at night, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, meaning truthfully, really, really, all right, Nick, catch this. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see God. You cannot even begin the walk with God until you're born again. First, look at Nick, just the guy. He said, all right, I see Jesus, all right, I see him. I know that he's doing great things. I see the miracles he's doing. And since he's healing the blind and he's raising the dead and he's cleansing the lepers And he's ministering to people. He's loving people in the middle of their mess, right? That's what Jesus is doing. And Nick, a Pharisee, a ruler of the day, came to him and said, listen, Jesus, I know you must be from God. Physically, all right? You're from God. I know that you are. Because you can't do these things unless you are sent from him. And Jesus answers to him. I love Jesus, of course, but I love him by the way he answers people. He goes around the obvious and gets to the point. He says, Nick, if you really want to know me, you must be born again. I want to invite you on a walk with me. All right? I want to invite you on a walk with me more than just the miracles that you're seeing. I want to invite you in this deeper relationship that's going to consume all of your life, not just physically, but spiritually. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well. God the Father is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, now Nick, he couldn't get past the physical part. He starts asking, how can a man be born again when he's old, right? We know the account. But Jesus tells him again, Nick, you must be born again, or you can't even understand these things. And so as he keeps on speaking about this walk, about walking with him, in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Truth and spirit worshiping God. The flesh, you need to understand that Jesus came in the flesh, but Jesus was also God. All right? And you must walk with him, not just in the fleshly realization of the miracles and the acts that he did, but that he lives in the right hand of the Father in the throne of glory, and he desires you to know him in a deep, personal walk. And when you come to that understanding, when you start seeing him as the real God, not some fairy tale that's off somewhere that's a billion million miles away from you, that he's right there, right, Kevin? He's right there. I mean, he's just above what we can see. In fact, I would dare say that he's all the way around us. He is in so close to us, but we're not seeing him because we're not looking into the dimensional space that he exists in. God is without time. He's above time. He's outside of the physical. He was more than just Jesus in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, right? He was God in the flesh. The Spirit made flesh, and he wanted to have a relationship with human beings so deeply that he left who he was to come who we are. Talk about a God that loves you and wants to have a relationship with you, wants to have a walk with you. God did these things. He said the first way for you to know God to begin with is you've got to surrender to him. You must be born again. If you are not born again, if you've not heard your name called by God and surrendered your heart to him, what I'm going to say next is going to sound like Chinese to you. You will not understand it. So right now, I'm going to give you a moment. You ask yourself, do you really know God? And do you even want to know God? Because when you want to know God, he's going to rock your world. Everything is about ready to change. Naomi, do you want to know God? I'm looking at you because you're looking at me. I saw you. God made me connect with you. Do you want to know God as more than just this far-off thing, but somebody that is so close to you, so intimate with you, that you can bear everything with him? You want to do that? All right. I ain't going to ask you to pray after me. That's not my gig. All right. But you need to talk to God about that. You need to tell him, I want to know you. Sean, you want to get real with God? JJ, you want to get real with God? Today's the day. Today's the day of salvation for you. And if you want to get right with him, if you want to start this walk with him, I'm telling you, it is available. But you got to want it more than anything that's holding you back. You got to look beyond the flesh and start seeking into the Spirit of God, because God is spirit. Amen. That which is born of flesh is flesh. I see you in your body. I see your flesh. Can't see your spirit. God looks at the heart of man. He looks at the spirit of man. And he knows if you're real with him or not. Yeah. And when you get real, right, Kevin? When you get real with God, God will envelop you. He will come around you. He will permeate every part of your body inside and out, and he will bring you on the most marvelous trip. I mean, it is a walk. You will see things. You will hear things. You will understand things. You will see things in the physical and look past the physical and see the spiritual, because God wants you to know the deeper things of him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him. The only thing that's stopping you is you. Amen? God, he paid the price. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to be a part of him. He wanted it so bad that he did great things all the way through the scripture. All right, and so in Exodus, I was thinking about this morning. And let me let you know, this may be why I'm sort of loopy this morning. God woke me up at about 4 o'clock this morning. All right, and this was on my mind. And then I got out of bed and I got dressed and I came to church at 4:30, and I've been here ever since. So no wonder you're a little loopy. Yeah. But God showed me this morning when I was thinking about walking with him and how bad he wants us to walk with him. Now Moses, the story of Moses, you know that he was supposed to be killed, right? But his mom put him in an ark and sent him out. He was saved by Pharaoh's daughter, right? Brought him into the temple. He was raised under the house of Pharaoh. He knew all of the Egyptian gods, all that stuff. That's how he was raised. And then God started speaking to him, and he went to save, or actually rescue, his people. And he ended up murdering an Egyptian. This is the whole thing shrunk down real small. Murdering an Egyptian. Buried him in the sand. The next day, there's a couple of Hebrews that were wrestling, fighting amongst each other. And Moses steps in. And they said, "Hey, Mo, we saw what you did with the Egyptian. Are you here to rule? Are you here to kill us?" And Moses freaks out. The secret is out. I'm a sinner. I'm a murderer. Guess what? God already knows you're a murderer. He already knows your secret, right? And so he heads off to a place called Midian. Midian. And so he goes Jethro. He runs into a sheep farmer, Jethro. And Jethro has a daughter. He marries the daughter. But in that time, it says, through the process of time. All right, I love it when the Bible tells you that, because I don't know how long it's going to take for God to get into your heart to convince you that you need to start walking with him. It's going to take a process of time. Sean, it's taking a process of time, but sooner or later, he's going to grab you, son. JJ, he's going to grab you. He's going to change everything.
That's right.
Amen? Joshua, he grabbed you. He grabbed you by the head of the hair, and he brought you into a love relationship. Right, Tom? It happened. I don't know how it happened. But Kevin, he moved over you, and he says, "I love you. I want you. Walk with me." And he changes everything. Now Moses, all right, he's there. He's being a sheep herder instead of the son of the prince of the world. Amen. He was instead of that. And it's Exodus chapter 3. There's the whole thing is so good, but I think I kind of went where I needed to go anyhow. And here it is. God speaking to Moses, all right? Verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. But put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou walk standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord, I am God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God, when he starts talking to you, he opens up your understanding of who he is. I am not just a God of Egypt. I'm not just a thing. He was in Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, right? Isn't that's where he was in Midian? Mount Horeb, the mount of God. And God meets Moses where he's at. He gets his attention by a burning bush that doesn't get consumed. We know the account. But then he starts talking to him. He's saying, listen, I am the real God, the God that spoke to Abraham. I'm the God who spoke to Isaac. I'm the God who spoke to Jacob, and now I'm speaking to you. Moses, I want you to walk with me. But you know what you got to do, Mo? I'm going to do this. I'm probably going to slip down later. I want you to kick off your shoes, son. I want you to get all of the things that are surrounding you, that are holding you up, and you get right down to the nitty-gritty with me. I want you to understand that you are talking to a holy God. Everything that is in you, everything that is on you, it needs to be put off. Anything that is fleshly, it needs to be put off. The things that you're securing that you think is secure, your foundation, you need to put your foundation off, because I am the one true God, and I'm going to ask you to do something crazy. Moses, I'm going to ask you to trust me, to walk with me, and I'm going to lead you into the face of danger. I'm going to lead you on a trip that is going to explode the world. I've heard the hurting of my people. I've heard their cry. And I want you, Moses, to walk with me. You, Dale, Dean, I want you to walk with me. I want you to take those things, that fleshly stuff that's holding you back, that makes you want to go around the long way. I want you to kick that garbage off of you and walk with me. Alan, I want you to walk with me. Walk with me. Know me. Follow me, understand who I am, and I'm going to do marvelous works, not because of who you are, but because of who I am. Walk with me. God, what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. And he keeps talking to him, and as he goes on, he says, Moses is kind of freaking out here, right? Who wouldn't be? God's speaking to you. He's saying, take off all of your earthly stuff and follow me. Trust me with everything that is on you. Trust me more than you can understand anything. Trust me. Walk with me. Your people are hurting. I heard their cry all the way in Egypt. I heard their cry. And I have chosen you, Kevin. I've chosen you to walk with me, to show me, to show them the righteousness of God. And Moses says, well, how will they know that you sent me? And he says this. I love this. Say that I am that I am. Oh, what? What a God. Oh, you don't need to know my name. You need to know that I am, that I'm real, that there's a presence, that there's a power, that there's a reality of me on you. Oh, it wasn't the stick that made Moses powerful. Amen. It wasn't able to stick his hand in and pull it out leprous and put it back in and come out clean. That wasn't what made Moses powerful. It wasn't his humility that made him powerful by kicking off his shoes. That isn't what made Moses powerful. What made Moses powerful is that walk, that relationship with the living, loving, all-powerful God. And he went to a people that hated him, that didn't know him, and he introduced himself like, I am here by I am. You know what that tells me is that God was working in Egypt with those people that had been in bondage for over 400 years. God was working with them and saying, listen, I'm going to send a guy to you. You may not understand that his name is Moses, but he's going to come to you in the name of I am. He's going to come to you in the name of the reality of the one true God. And he's going to walk with me. He's going to honor me. How about you? Dave, how about you? You're going to walk with God? Are you tired of kitty cat walking, kitty cat footing? There's a different word that's on me that I just can't say. Are you tired of playing the game? Are you tired of walking in your shoes in the holiness of God? Are you tired of doing it your way? Do you really want to understand Yahweh? Do you really want to understand the power and the righteousness of God? Well, it's time to shut off these things that are so easily making us fall. It's time to stop trusting in our shoes and start trusting in the one true Savior of the world, the I am that I am. And he's desiring, he's requiring that you walk with him. And it starts with salvation. You cannot walk with God if you do not know God. Amos chapter 3. How can two walk together if they're not agreed? All right? How can you walk with God if you don't know he's God? And there's only one ruler. There's only one righteous. There's only one holy. And it ain't you. It is God. It is the I am of the I am. It is the one true Savior of the world. Your ways, your thoughts, your shoes cannot hold up to the might of the holy God of Israel, the God that should be living in your heart. If you want, do you want to walk with him? Because Moses didn't have to kick off his shoes. He didn't have to go see the burning bush. Nicodemus didn't have to come to him and say, we know that you're from God because nobody can do the works you do. And how did Jesus and how did the Almighty speak to both of these people? Know that I am. Know that I am. And you must be born again. You must be able to cast off your flesh, your outside, that I can get to the creamy inside. That heart of the human that was formed by the speaking, by the breathing in of God into the very first human being when he breathed into him and he became a living soul. Do you want it? I got to ask myself this morning at 4 o'clock this morning, God was banging me in the head. Curtis, do you want it? Do you want it? Stop playing the game and get right with me. Stop wearing your shoes. Stop thinking that you're good enough. Start humbling yourself before me. Start living by faith. Start seeking me with the fullness of your heart and your mind. Get rid of all of this other garbage that's so weighing you down. So I said, God, how do I say this? And he said, shut up. I am that I am. Right? Just get up and speak. Don't worry. Don't worry that you feel dizzy. And I praise God, I don't feel dizzy right now. Felt dizzy before, and I agree that may have been a spiritual attack that was on me that was making me kind of loopy-minded. I'm clear-minded right now, buddy. I see it. I see it as plain as day that God is calling you. God's calling you. He wants you to know him. Naomi, he's got great plans for you. Walk with him. Cast off everything. Cast off all of the cares that you have in this world. Get rid of them that you might know the one true God. Follow him, not with just your outside, but with your most inner person, with the deepest part of your heart. Understand him through the Spirit, not just through the flesh. Yeah, Jesus came. Amen. He came. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming again. But he's wanting you to walk right now today for this time that's coming off in the future. Walk by faith. Not by sight. And he's going to bring you to some crazy places. Once you kick off your shoes, once you take yourself and put it out of the way, and you start living by faith and not by sight, amen, he will rock your world. And he will give you something out of this world. He will give you peace in the midst of your storm. He will grant you knowledge that goes way smarter than any of the college professors could ever pump into your head. He might not teach you how to use silent letters, but he will teach you the deeper things of love, of grace, of mercy, of compassion. He will teach you how to pour your life out for his glory, not for your own. But you got to want it bad enough to do it. You got to want it bad enough to kick off your shoes. And I can't make that happen for you. Oh, I wish I could. JJ, I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I had the power to speak to your heart, to actually turn you from your flesh to the spirit man. Amen? I wish I could. I can't, but I know one who can. I know one who can. If you believe in your heart, If you would really seek him, Naomi, I'm talking to y'all because y'all are the young folks here. John, I'm talking to you. You're already, well, I'm not going to blow your head up. You need to do it too. Amen. You need to do it too because none of us are perfect. None of us are righteous before God. But God said, I know where you're at. You can be on the backside of the desert, all right, near Mount Horeb. Right? You may be somewhere so far off from God right now that you can't see the God of the universe. You can't see the I am that I am. You can't see him. You don't really know what he's like. But I guarantee you this, people, if you will turn your heart to him, open your spiritual eyes to him, and seek him, I promise you, you will find him. And when you find him, you're going to find him with his arms opened wide. You're going to find him with acceptance, with love for you. And you might be saying in and of yourself, well, God, I'm too dirty for this. I've sinned. I've done that. I'm still on alcohol and drugs. I have my pride. I have my arrogance. I have my trophies. Ooh, I have a trophy. Right? That's not going to hold up. Nothing. Throw your trophies down. Amen. Throw your trophies down. Put your flesh out of the way. Put your will out of the way. Honor Him with who you are. Honor Him with what He wants to make out of you. Walk with Him. Trust Him. Okay, I got ahead of myself. No, actually, I think God's doing this. Romans chapter 11. Speaking about walking with God. Talking about getting rid of your riches. All of chapter 11 is great. All right, it really is. I know I say that every week. But because of time, we're going to pick up at a certain verse, verse 12. If the fall of them be the riches of the world, and diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke the emulsion which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them... This is not the right place. I'm sorry about that. But that is what I have written down. I have the wrong chapter down. I absolutely apologize for that. What I have in the notes here is 10:13. 10:13?
I think that's where you
want to go. Yes, amen. All right. Woohoo, praise God. And so, yeah, 10:13. Actually, we can go back to 10:9 or 10:8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we're talking about, faith. And let me tell you, you don't have to go to Mount Horeb to find it.
Amen.
You know, it's close to you. It's right near you. Thank you. Thank you for picking that out for me. Because it was twisting my head up hard. Right. And if you've never written a sermon on paper and tried to pull it up down, you'll get the wrong chapter sometimes. But anyhow, but then you have the body of Christ, right? You got the Spirit moving amongst people. And so in verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This here is the same as kicking the shoes off your feet in the presence of God. You got to believe that he is, that he wants you to know him. All right, you need to confess with your mouth the Lord. You need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Amen. For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bringing glad tidings of good things. Amen. Listen, folks. God wants you to know him. He wants you to know that salvation is real. He wants you to kick off your shoes that you can have beautiful feet. Amen? He wants you to get all of the stuff. You need to believe in God with a fierceness. Yeah. It's a fierceness. You've got to have faith that will shake everything around you. Or actually, a faith that will make you stand when everything around you shakes. I think that's a better way to put that. My faith is so sure and so confident in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how bad the world shakes. I am confident in Him. He holds me. He keeps me. It's His righteousness. I serve the I Am of the I Am. And I'm going to set the captives free as I walk in the holiness that He provides me in. I'm going to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. How about you? First, you need to get grounded into Jesus Christ. You need to make more than that verbal confession, but believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead. And there is only one God, I Am that I Am. There is only one Jesus, and He is the embodiment of the I Am that I Am. And He says, cast off everything that would stop you from walking with Him, because He will not walk with unclean. He calls the unclean to be clean, so you can walk with Him. And when you start getting clean, when you start believing the Word, when you start casting off everything that so easily ensnares you, when you truly have faith in God, all of a sudden there is an illumination of knowledge, of love, of grace, of peace, of compassion, of joy, of prayer, of understanding. There are so many facets of God that unlock from the heavenlies as you walk with Him. Oh, God wants you to walk. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, see, this starts with the walk with Him. First, you've got to say that He is. All right? This walk, you've got to understand that God is I Am. You may not see Him physically, but I'm letting you know that God is real. He is. He is. He is. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning and the end. He is all of that. He is your lover. He's your Savior. He's your confidant. Again, He is your shield. He is your buckler. All those things that you talked about, believing the Bible seriously. Seriously. God is serious about these. And He doesn't care if you're Jew or Greek, rich or poor, tall or short, fat or skinny, athletic or non-athletic. Again, God doesn't care about your trophy. God is your trophy. Amen. He is your great reward. And He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand the depth of compassion that He has for you. And in those things, if you call upon the Lord, you will be saved. But you got to really seek Him for the righteous God who He is. Understanding that without Him, there is no righteousness at all. But with Him is the fullness of righteousness embodied. To walk with God. Colossians chapter 2. Again, all of the chapter, but we're going to pick up in verse 6. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. All right? Now listen. To walk in Jesus Christ, He's going to give some examples here. You need to be rooted in Him. 7:1 or 7, first word. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. All right? Knowing that God is, root yourself down. You cannot be rooted if you're wearing shoes. You can't, there's nothing quite like digging your feet into the dirt. Amen? You get your toes wiggling in that mud and it just kind of sinks down a little. Boy, it gives you traction. You know, I've walked barefooted on rock, on stones. You have a lot better traction barefooted than you do with climbing shoes on. Right? You just got to get used to it. So you got to get used to walking with God because He's going to bring you to some crazy places. But you can walk through the fire with Him with no shoes on. Nothing except the Hebrew boys. They walked into the fire. They were bound up by the world. And then God took off all the binds of the world and let them come out of that fire, not even smelling of smoke. That's a walk with God. You know what they said before that? Hey, Nebi, no matter what you say, we're not going to worship you. We're not going to fall down when you tell us to fall down. I'm going to trust God, and He is able to deliver me. But even if He don't, I fully expect to die. I'm going to walk with him regardless of what you say. They took their shoes off. You see? They took their shoes off and they went into the place that only God could protect them. And guess what? God protected them. And not only did God protect them, the unsaved saw God protecting him. Did we not throw three in the fire? And I see four walking around in the fire. And one is like the Son of the living God. The fourth. But see, you got to be willing to go through the fire. You can't stand on the outside and hope it doesn't happen. You got to say, all right, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to leave my safe place as a sheep herder and go into the world of the demons and the devils and proclaim the acceptable day. Why? Because I am has sent me. God did not save you to sit here. God did not save you just to fill your pockets with worldly treasures. God wants you to get rid of everything, to know him, to walk with him. See, we need to beware of men. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Kids in school, people in school, people in college, beware of philosophy. People in churches that ain't preaching the Bible, that ain't preaching the righteous, Baptists need to be worried about this. Presbyterians need to be worried about this. Jews need to be worried about this. Catholics need to be worried about this because you can be beguiled through religion, through philosophy, through the teachings of men and the doctrines of devils. You can be easily swept up into that. Lest a man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Amen? Amen? You got to get rid of all of this stuff that we've been rooted in. We've been talking about this here for a couple of years. I was rooted in some bad stuff. Once saved, always saved. That's bad stuff. Amen. You're going to be raptured out before anything happens, and then you're going to rule. You're going to beat up the unbelievers with a rod. Amen. That's wrong. I was rooted in that. I was beguiled by that. I was taught wrong by that. But God loved me so much. He said, "There's a burning bush. Will you come talk to me?" I said, "Yes, Lord." You know what that burning bush is? It's right here. It's the King James Bible. That's the burning bush. And that burning bush talks to you. He says, "Follow me, walk with me, understand what the precepts are in here, and apply them to your life, and I will bring you before kings, I will bring you before princes, I will bring you before every angelic host, and I will make you more than conquerors. Because I'm Christ, and I strengthen you." Not exactly worded like that, but close enough. Amen. "For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Woo! Ah! How are you able to stand against all of the powers of the world? Kick off your shoes, son. Kick off your shoes. Trust God. He is the one with all of the power. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead." I don't follow just anybody. I don't walk with just anybody. I walk with the one who holds the fullness of the Godhead. You walk with him. Oh, and ye are complete in him. Praise God, which is the head over all principalities and powers. Man, let me ask you, do you want the walk? Do you want the walk? Do you really want this walk? Well, you got to start shucking off some stuff. God said, "You cannot go with me and stay where you're at. You can't go with it. If you're living in sin, you cannot walk with God." I'm not saying that you'll ever be sinless in this life, but if you know that you are doing something that is against the written word of God, if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit, I guarantee you, you will not understand the fullness of the Godhead. But when you really shuck off the things of this life, when you really crucify the flesh, when you really surrender to the Most High Living God, He will expose your mind to things. Tom, how can you say it? Joshua, what's the word? Right? What's the word? Doug, what's the word? It's more than just revelation, because you can know something by being a revealed, but it's an indwelling explosion of information about truth. Amen.
This gets you free from the bondage of this
sin.
World.
Yes. Amen. Well, it's not just holding the book, because I know a lot of people hold the book. I know a lot of people that read the King James Bible, and they're still tied down by the world. Thank you, brother. You gotta believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You ask for the building of faith in the church. Well, the church has got to start walking with God. They got to start casting off these things that easily hold them down. Stop trusting on yourself. Why? Because the I Am, the burning bush, is talking to you right now. The burning bush is already exposed to you. What is your shoes? Not necessarily the things on your feet. It's what you call stability. Is your stability in your job? How fast do jobs come and go? Is your stability in the government check? How fast does that come and go? Is your stability in your own abilities? Who here has trusted in their own work of their own hands and come up way short? Amen. Can't do it. Cannot do it without God. Can't do it without God. And once you cast those things off, all of a sudden you find an ability that is not of this world.
He that loses his life
shall find it. Amen. Amen. He that loses his life shall find it. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the way that he works. He makes this little. It's like, what were those? They pop up and you hit them with a stick?
Whack-a-mole.
Right? And so you send it and you pop up. The Holy Spirit popped you up. And he had you say something. The Holy Spirit popped you up. You had to say something. That is praise God. That we are open to that. And God will, and only it's the opposite side of whack-a-mole, because you're not trying to pop them down. God's getting underneath you and popping you up. Mole of whack. Sort of whack-a-mole. It's a mole of whack. And so God is calling you to these things. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sin of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. What I've been talking about. Putting it off. Putting it off. Kicking off your shoes. Walking with the great I Am that I Am. Understanding you must be born. Before you can start this walk, before you can start having a right relationship with God, you must believe that He is. And He is real. It's more than just the writing on the page. There is a deep, loving God. And don't think about the stars a gazillion million miles away. He's right there. The kingdom of God is in you. It's in you, right there. You don't have to go to the far side of the world to find it. You ain't got to climb to the mountaintops to find it. You ain't got to go to the bottom of the ocean to find it. It is near you. It is in your mouth. It is so close you can taste it. All you got to do is kick off your shoes. Trust in what God has for you and not what you have for Him. You ain't got nothing. My brother.
Curtis, this is worth it. I think this kind of hits the nail on the head, but I'm going to let you read it. So Ephesians chapter 3.
Again.
I don't normally cut them up, but I'm going to let you read it. 16 through 21.
Amen. And you want to know something neat? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16.
Yes, God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, praise God, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, praise God. Amen. Praise God. I'm sorry. Whew. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amen. Great place to end it. Amen. It's all here. It's all here.
Instruction book for life.
Amen. It's all here. The only thing that stops us from knowing the fullness of God is our selfish ambition. When we, and you've heard this saying before, when you let go and let God, now, I mean, not in the AA thing, I'm talking about kick off your shoes. Let go. What you think doesn't matter when you're in the presence of the Most High God. What he says is truth. John 14 and 6. Thomas asking him, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man goes to the Father. No man can start the walk without him. All right? And it comes down to a simple thing. He's ready. He's willing. He's available. He's reaching out. Is his arm so short that he cannot save? He's reaching out. He's looking for you. All you got to do is say, yes, God. Yes, God. I'm a sinner. I need saving. I can't do it on my own. I've trusted my shoes. I've trusted my ability. I've trusted my work. I've trusted who I am. And you take all of the eyes that are in the middle of sin and you put them on Jesus, because Jesus took the eyes in sin when he died on the cross and when he rose from the grave in 3 days. Do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to do it? Because it's easy to say, Lord, I believe. But if you don't walk, if you don't walk with him, if you don't start the walk, you'll never get to the, yeah, that narrow road that leads to the straight gate, that narrow, if you don't start the walk with him, you'll never make it. Because you ain't good enough. You ain't. I ain't. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, amen, but God loves you. And he wants you. He wants you to come on this walk with him. He wants you to come to the burning bush. He wants to fill you with the knowledge of the Most High God. And then he wants to spill you out into a lost, dark world. He wants to make you a city built on a hill. He wants to make your light so shine. He wants the world to see your good works. Not that you're good or that what you do is good. He wants the world to see his good works in you. I know the Bible says it different. All right. And I'm not taking away from that. But it's not about my good works. It's about his good works in me. And when the world sees his good works in me, then they glorify the God that I serve. That's where it's at. Do you want it? Church, do you want it? Naomi, do you want it? JJ, do you want it? Sean, you want it? Mexican too. Then what you going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, it's easy, it's cheap to say I can stand at the bottom of the hill and I can make it to the top. Well, you got to start climbing, son. You got to start walking. You got to start reading and believing. Living by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't start, you'll never finish. Verbal stuff is so easy. Right? It is. But when God says he's a male, all right, do you know that God is a man? He's not a girl. He's a man. Everything written about God is in the masculine. That actually the church is the female. I'm a man, but to God I'm the female. All right? Now this ain't no new thing, right? This ain't that new gender confusion garbage that's going on out there, because I'm absolutely 100% male. I use the urinal. I'm a man.
It's that difference between your flesh and your soul.
Amen.
Right.
It's the difference between your flesh and your soul. My soul is surrendered to God. I am humbled before God. I am honored that he would choose me. That he would choose you. That he would reach out from beyond time and space. And Doug, he would call you by name. And he would anoint you. Nancy, he would anoint you. That he would come over you and he would cover you. Diane, he would cover you. That you might walk with him. So get out of his way. Just get out of his way. Whatever is stopping you in your heart and mind, whatever you're trusting in more than you're trusting in God, bring it to the altar of sacrifice today. Bring it to the altar of sacrifice. I challenge you within your heart, within your mind, the thing that you're trusting in more than you trust in God, the God of the Bible, tie it to the horns of the sacrificial altar and allow the high priest to kill it for you. Then take that sacrifice of love, of grace, of mercy, and go. And go. And do what God calls you to. He might call you to go back to Egypt. Amen. Like he did Moses. He might do like he did Saul, who later became Paul, and tell you to go back to the synagogues and proclaim the good news, even if they hate you, or especially because they hate you. I don't know what God's going to call you to do, but I do know a couple things. It's going to be more than you expect. It's going to be harder than you think. It's going to be more rewarding than you can comprehend. Amen? I know that because we're doing it. Amen? Anybody who's walked with God for any amount of time will confess to that. All right, I got to hush. We ain't got nothing else to say. Go home. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord God, and I pray that you would bring us to that place of complete brokenness before the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we could bear our hearts, our minds, our souls, and that we would truly be converted, not just confessed, but truly converted. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that those that are here and are you're already dealing in their hearts, they're already hearing from you, touch them, Lord God. Shake them to their very core and draw them into the place of nakedness without embarrassment. To be naked and unashamed before God. Bearing our heart and praying for forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to walk in your way. Lord Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.